Sunday, May 18th, the fifth Sunday of Easter. The first reading from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, verses 21 through 27. After Paul and Barnabas had proclaimed the good news to that city and made a considerable number of disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. They strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying, "It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." They appointed elders for them in each church, and, with prayer and fasting, commended them to the Lord, in whom they had put their faith. Then they traveled through Pisidia and reached Pamphylia. After proclaiming the word at Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had now accomplished. And when they arrived, they called the church together and reported what God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Haydock Commentary. It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Our daily offenses require the paternal chastisement of the Almighty. The concupiscence of the flesh, too, which wills against the Spirit, must be subdued by punishment. Woe then to you, lovers of this world, who wish to pass your lives without tribulation, enemies of the cross. Senseless creatures, is the disciple above his master? Did it not become Christ first to suffer, and thus to enter into his glory? And shall we pretend to enter by any other means? So says Dennis the Carthusian. They appointed elders for them in each church. We see from this text, first, that Saints Paul and Barnabas were bishops, having authority to confer holy orders. Second, that there was even then a difference betwixt bishops and priests, though the name in the primitive church was often used indifferently. And third, that fasting and praying were constant preparatives for holy orders. The second reading from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will always be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away." The one who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Haydock Commentary. From the seventh verse of the previous chapter begins, as it were, the third part of the Apocalypse containing the coming of the Antichrist, the great day of judgment, the punishment of the wicked, and the eternal happiness of God's elect in heaven, or in the celestial Jerusalem, which St. John describes in this chapter as if it were like a large city, beautified and enriched with gold and all manner of precious stones. The new heaven and new earth are new by their form and qualities, but not by their substance. The first heaven and first earth was passed away, being changed not as to their substance, but in their qualities. The new Jerusalem came down from God out of heaven. By this city we must understand its citizens, the angels and saints. Justice, innocence, the good works of the saints, are the ornaments of the inhabitants of this new Jerusalem, the church triumphant. If the world of the old Adam has appeared so beautiful, so magnificent, good God, what will be the riches of that which is made for Jesus Christ, the second Adam, and for his members? O Jesus, Father of the world to come, render us worthy of this new and everlasting world, and give us a disgust, a mortal hatred for that which perishes, and which is the cause of our perdition. The Gospel from John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment: love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Haydock Commentary. Now is the Son of Man glorified, that is, the time is at hand when he shall be glorified by miracles at his death and resurrection. The commandment of mutual love had been previously given, but evidently misconstrued and abridged by the Jews to mean friends only, and to this life only, and for earthly respects. But Jesus Christ renews it and enlarges it after the form of his own love towards us, and gives grace to observe it.